Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and this is the BBOV, the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. This is Pastor George Pearson's, and this is our class. Testimonies. My husband and I began listening to the BBOV radio broadcast. Oh, back to radio day. Thank you, Jimmy Swaggart. He's in heaven now, but thank you, Brother Jimmy.
Wow. 1976.
1976, the radio. We went on the radio in 75. Throughout our marriage, the ministry of KCM proved to be a constant source of truth and wisdom for us. Since my husband's graduation to heaven, the ministers on the broadcast have continued to teach and train me during this season. They have truly been a lifeline to keep me out of grief. I can honestly say this ministry is more valuable to me now than ever. Without its teaching and daily prayers, my life would not be as peaceful and prosperous as it is. May God multiply to all of you His blessings for all you do for all of us. DB in Georgia.
Praise God. That's great. That's great.
Isn't it good? Praise God for it. I didn't want to go on the radio. I thought I was already busy. And I said, Lord, You spoke to Moses out of a burning bush. You do the same for me or I'm not going on that radio. That was kind of a... Well, anyway, I came in and Elaine said, Jimmy Swaggart's on the phone. I said, "Did Jimmy Swaggart?" He said, "Yes." "Why ain't you on the radio?" He said, "There's your burning bush. Now, what are you going to do?" That's when Michael Ellison came into our lives because he was the media buyer.
Yeah.
Michael and Susan Ellison. And that's a long but beautiful story, praise God.
That's when I came in to your life. 1976 is when I started work here at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Next year is my 50th year. But I had this here that I wanted to show you, and this was year one for me. And there we are.
Yes.
They're showing it. Yep. The interesting thing about this was the art department. That's what I came
in. That was it, right?
That was the art department.
That's the whole thing.
But the other side of this was a big room. And this is where they would put together the radio tapes that went out. But every so often they would test one. And all day long I would hear... "This is Kenneth Copeland. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory radio broadcast. Today's edition is..." This is Tuesday, today's edition. And then I would hear, "Get your Bible. I'll tell you a story." Yeah. Over and over and over. That was a great memory.
That was a Ray Price song. And I met him, and I said, "Sir, I want to tell you about some things where I took your song and changed the lyrics." He said, "You did." I said, "Yes, sir. You recognize this? Get your Bible." "Oh, easy, yeah, man." That was my radio broadcast entry. Can you see?
That's great.
And I said, "You're the best thing." "Yeah." I said, "I sing it to my wife." "Oh," he said, "Brother Copeland, I've written a new gospel song. Would you like to hear it? Pick up your guitar."
Wow.
And it was Roy Clark and Ray Price together. And Roy came in there. Roy, great pilot, rode motorcycles. And he sat down and he said, "Copeland..." "Yeah, Roy, what is it?" "How do you keep a battery up on your motorcycle when you're gone?" I said, "You ever heard of a battery tender?" "No." "Where do you live? I'll send you one." I'm going somewhere with it. So I heard that he passed. So I called Barbara. She went to all of the meetings and everything. I said, "Barbara, I really heard the news that Roy passed. And his music is heard in heaven, I believe. Except one. She said, Kenneth, what would that be? Thank God, Greyhound, she's gone. Oh, Kenneth, she said, she began to laugh. She said, I really needed to hear that.
That's great. That's great.
So God will put you in places where you can minister to people.
Yes.
And so I sent him a battery tender. Well, I still use it on my bikes. Of course, Roy was, man.
Then there was Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash.
Oh, yeah. The theater, which is now Faith Life Church. We went there when it was the Johnny Cash Theater. And so they sent somebody down there and said, Mr. Cash would like for you all to come backstage. What does Johnny Cash want with us? He came back there and he said, I'm telling y'all, my knees are hurting me spit. He said, I don't know whether I'm going to be able to get through this or not. I just don't know. I just don't know. I mean, Gloria just hit her knees and just went on his knees like this. And Jerry's all over the place. And we just laid hands on him and laid hands on him, laid on him. They said, Mr. Cash, you've got 5 minutes. He said, okay. So they said, we can give you better seats than this. So they put us right down there. I mean, I was closest from here to those cameras from the stage, just right there. And it was set up like this. And it was hilarious. And on the second curtain call, he looked down there and put his hands on both knees and did this.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. That's marvelous. Wow. Wow.
It's... My husband and I began listening to the radio broadcast. 700 stations. The budget the year before was 375,000, a little over that, for the whole ministry. The next year, the radio bill was $400,000 a month. It's the only time I ever mentioned a price for something in a partner letter. Mm-hmm. I said, we can do this for the price of a pair of tennis shoes. What was it? $15 or whatever it was. And they hit it.
$12.50. $12.50. Yes. For tennis shoes.
$700 stations. 400,000 a month, and we were on our way. I look back on it now. We just quit when it went on TV. I didn't think we could do both at once. But I see now, had we just continued on radio and did the TV. But I didn't have the leading to do that. But I'm, that's just looking back. So...
That's the life of a tither.
Yes, it is.
Doors opening, opportunities given, ministering to people.
Yes. Now, what was I talking yesterday about?
You started talking about June 30th, 1977.
Yes, 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 yes. So it was John's birthday at Williams Center. And I had spoken there for Brother Hagin at the camp meeting. And we're still talking about tithing. And so I heard, get on your knees. I said, no. Brother Hagin's right there. I don't want to draw attention. Get on your knees now. I hit my knees. Ken Copeland. Yeah, yeah. He was giving an invitation. I just keep it with him, remind me of it. Yeah, yeah, there it is. Right. Yeah, yeah, that's it. I understand that. I understand that. I understand that. I'll tell him. Yeah, King Copeland, you're going to have to stir yourself up now. You're going to have to move over there in that healing ministry a little faster than you thought you would, because you see the time is short. There was a time you could just wait and sort of get ready for some things. You're not jumping out ahead of God. You're keeping step with God. And you're going to have to put some more emphasis on some of these things in the areas which you know to do so, particularly in the area of healing. Yeah, yeah, I understand that, Lord. And whether you want to or not, you're going to operate in the ministry of the prophet, the seer, the seer. Standing right in the pulpit, you'll see right in front of your eyes, just like you saw it run off on a television screen. You'll be able to minister to the people. Now, you're going to get a lot of persecution from some friends. And some are going to draw back from you. But those fair weather friends are not worth it. Go on with God. Jesus is coming. It's better to stand in his presence and say, I have not been disobedient to God. Hallelujah to Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Let's go back to Hereford, Texas again. That's when I got all of this. I was there by myself. Gloria stayed home with the children. I can see it in my mind. I got it at the foot of the bed. Is there victory in the new birth? I said, what do you want me to preach? And my spirit, is there victory in the new birth? Yes. Is there victory in the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Yes. Is there victory over death and victory in healings? Yes. He said, every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory. I said, whoa, that's good. And then it flashed across me in my mind. I thought, and the prophet's ministry is coming. But that came the next day when I was shaving for the service. And I stopped and I said, I am not announcing that I'm a prophet. The only way I'll accept that, it's going to have to be publicly, and it's going to have to be without a doubt, and there's going to have to be more than just a few people there. And so we got the hotel, and the Lord said, how'd I do? 9,000 people, I said, you did good. He did good.
Oh.
I thought, now what am I going to do? What am I going to do with this ministry? He said, don't try to make it happen. Let it happen. Amen. A man that calls himself a prophet is not a prophet indeed. But it's when the creator of the universe that has apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Yeah. And when you're called to one of these offices, then you stay in your lane.
That's it.
And you operate there, and you don't jump the track and try to be something you're not. For many of my men and many of my women have failed in this area. Some have died young, and some just never did finish their calling. So take care of these things in my way, saith the Lord, and go to my book. And test and try, and test and try, and read and read and read and listen. You haven't finished praying until you listen.
Amen.
Stop and listen. Pray the word. Then you have it blessed. I got that from the Lord. He said, you pray something, then you ask me to bless it. He said, you're doing that wrong. He said, pray my word, it's already blessed.
That's it.
Yes.
Pray the word.
Yeah. Praise God.
Yeah.
So.
We were talking yesterday about the devourer being rebuked. This is for the tither. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He will not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine caster fruit before the time in the field. And we talked about the devourer, what that meant, the seed eater, the one who burns things up, the destroyer. And it says, he'll not destroy the fruits of your ground, And I wrote this down here. The devil will take advantage of money that is not tithed. He'll take advantage of that. And I wrote this after the refrigerator needs repair, the car breaks down, and so on and so on and so on.
Yes.
Tithing is the barrier that stops the devourer from eating away at our lives, which includes money, possessions, investments, and time. And the tither's advantages cover every economic situation. It puts you above and not beneath the economy. Mm-hmm. The tither, it keeps us in a place where no matter what the economy looks like, we are flourishing.
Amen.
We're not surviving.
No.
We are flourishing. We're thriving. And I thought about A.W. Copeland.
Yes, glory to God.
I thought about Granddad. We called him Granddad. And I had the privilege of living with A.W. and Vanetta Copeland the year before, for a year before Terry and I got married. I lived with them. I slept in Kenneth's bedroom and served them. And they became not only relatives to me, but friends.
1753 Yolanda Drive.
1753 Yolanda. And Granddad, what a precious man. We'll put pictures up for people to see, but what a precious man. But this is, I have a copy here. This is the June 2025 issue of the magazine. It was for Father's Day. And they told me that they were going to do this article and put a picture of your dad on the cover with Brother Copeland. And so the article that they did, this results of giving, this is the article that they printed. But nobody knows this information. But this article was actually an interview I did with Granddad in 1979. And we sat down together, and I actually have a recording. I need to find where that is. But he talked to me about the Depression. And, I mean, you know the full story. You were there with them, not at the Depression time, but he talked about the Depression lasted from 1929 until about 1940. I was farming and had a part-time job. After I got off the farm, I worked at a filling station for $1 a day. Vanetta was working in a beauty parlor where she would set women's hair for 25 cents a day. Later, I went into the insurance business as a salesman and traveled a lot selling insurance. And he started talking about, he said, the Depression never had any devastating effect on our lives because we knew the Lord. One of the real keys, this is it, that kept us going was the fact that we were tithing. Whether we were working for a salary or on the farm, we tithed. When I made Jesus the Lord of my life, I also made him Lord over everything I had. The word of God became so clear to me in Malachi 3. When the Lord said, bring a tenth of your income into the storehouse, he didn't mean from your net income. He meant from the gross income. As I studied that, it seemed unbelievable, but that's what he said. Another thing that seemed so amazing to me was that he said he would rebuke the devourer for me. And so he listed off these different things. He said, I want to remind people how to live victoriously. He said, make Jesus your Lord. Learn that God is your source. Work. Work. He said, keep a positive confession of God's word going and keep tithing.
Amen.
He said, keep casting your bread upon the water. He said, don't try doing it. It's already been proven. Just do it and keep on doing it. And as you cast bread upon the water, it will keep coming back to you.
Yes.
And I think about that, Kenneth, about how they went through the Depression. And they were always, always prospering. I mean,
mother would say, I would watch him as far as I could see and say, now, her appendix ruptured on the basketball court when she's 16 years old. And back there then, a ruptured appendix was just a death sentence.
Yeah.
And they said, don't you ever try to have a child. It'll... But they were married 9 years before I was born. And so you can see why they did that. And they tried again, and they stopped it. She was so messed up on the inside. But she said, I would watch him just as far as I could see. And I knew he'd come home with a job. And she said, I'd stay home and do the ironing and whatever out there on that old farm. And said, he'd come back. And I said, did you get a job? Sure I did.
Praise God.
His dad taught him, get up before daylight.
That's it.
And pray and see where you're supposed to go. So he got up before daylight and went to the cotton gin, where the gin cotton. And some people, that's not liquor. Mm-hmm. Where they bring all of that cotton in there and just in pieces and goes through the machinery and then it bales it and so forth. Mm-hmm. And then it comes out and clean cotton and bales. And he said, the Lord led me there. So he said, I was standing on the, when the sun came up, the foreman opened the door. Now, this is what he said. He said, what are you doing here? He said, I came to go to work for you. He didn't say, y'all got any jobs? Can you keep books? Yes, sir. I said, well, Dad. He said, well, now, Kenneth, he said, you know I'm good at math. And he said, so I went over the previous bookkeeper's ledger to see. This all has to do with tithing.
Yes, yes.
He said, I went over his ledger very carefully to see that he didn't lose his job because his ledger was wrong. But he said, it was good, and I didn't question why he wasn't there because I am now the bookkeeper.
Wow.
So, and he said, this was in Lubbock where you were born. And he said, I went to Drones to get a good business education there, Drones Business College. And he said, they came to me and said, Copeland, we have a job right here for you in Lubbock. But there's also one in Abilene. And they said, and of course here in Depression, you get a guaranteed salary. He said, what about the one in Abilene? They said, well, it's commission only. He said, I'll take the one in Abilene. Mm-hmm. So he said, as you know, we moved to Abilene when you were just a little boy, a little baby. And I said, Dad, how come you to do that? He said, on commission, I hear, on commission, I determine.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's how hard I work.
Oh.
I determine the income for me and my family. And he mentioned tithing. And he went into all of that. I can determine it as long as I'm a tither.
Yes.
Because that's what his dad taught him.
That's right.
And her name was Esther. Pampa and Esther. We found out what her name was. Queen Esther. He just called her Esther.
Yeah.
Queen Esther.
Queen Esther.
Right out of the Bible.
Wow. Wow.
And my Uncle Dale was the elder, and I said, Dad, how's he? He said, same age as the calendar. Born 1900. Got 30 seconds and I'll tell you this, you'll like it. Because when he came, he said the D word in Ma's kitchen. She didn't say anything. He was tall. He was the tallest one of the bunch. She just walked over to the stove and got the stick, get it, and hit him right here. Knocked him flat of his back and said, now, Dale, you're not going to say that in Ma's kitchen anymore, are you? He said, no, ma'am. No, ma'am. Queen Esther. Oh. We'll be right back. Right?
What does the Bible mean when it talks about the tithe? We know it represents the first 10% that belongs to God. But why is tithing so important in our lives today? Tithing is God's design to bless you. Discover the powerful scriptural foundation of tithing in Kenneth Copeland's audio teaching series, The Tithe, God's Invitation to Financial Freedom. You'll learn how presenting your first to God opens the door to heaven's resources, how your words and attitudes can position you to receive His provision, and how tithing actually protects you from the grip of lack and the love of money. God Himself said, "Prove me in this." When you tithe, you become a financial partner with the Creator of the universe. You can step into His invitation today and receive the rights that are yours as a tither. Don't settle for lack when God has promised you abundance. Give Him the opportunity to rebuke the devourer from your life and pour out His blessing. The Tithe, God's Invitation to Financial Freedom, a digital audio teaching by Kenneth Copeland, is available now as a free download on our website, kcm.org/TV special. This eye-opening series not only presents the strong scriptural basis for tithing, but also shows the key role tithing plays in opening the door to your financial freedom and how to activate the power of tithing like never before. This offer is good for 30 days. Be sure to download your free digital copy today.
Always remember that prayer is the foundation of this ministry.
That's right.
And the first KCM employee we hired was a prayer minister, and her name was Billy Adams. And we built a little small chapel here, which was the first place on the property, because Brother Roberts built the prayer tower, which was the first place on the ORU campus. And I learned that from him. We have a prayer ministry team now that pray in faith with you. And let me, we say they're Lycian prayer ministers. That just simply means that they have been taught the word of faith. They know how to pray. And if you come up with any situation, then they have a manual right there in front of them that has all of the scriptures that have to do with what you're asking about. And they will pray that scripture prayer with you, so that you can always set yourself in agreement according to the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew. Amen. And it works. Yes, praise God. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you again tomorrow. Until then, this is Kenneth Copeland, Pastor George Pearson, and all of the class reminding you that God loves you, and we love you, and Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Woo. Yeah.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. To learn more about Kenneth Copeland Ministries and how we can help you grow in faith, check out our website for free content and resources available to you on kcm.org.